Good morning. Good morning, church. Welcome. My name is Mark Frangione. I'm one of the elders here, and I'll be doing the scripture reading this morning. We're going to be reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were back then.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Good morning. Doing okay? Good. Mixed as I should expect. We are in week three of our Abide series, and today's message is titled The Hidden Branches. I want to show you a picture as we start our time together this morning. Jesus in John chapter 15, when he's speaking about the branches and the vine and the gardener and everything, really he's talking about a grapevine. And so Luke, if you got that picture of the grapevine, this is something I want us to notice here is really a couple things that are visible and one thing that's not visible. The first thing you see that great big vine. And we talked about week one that Jesus is that vine. He is the source of life. He is everything. He is the reason that there is fruit. He's the energy, the life structure. And then you also see, hanging, you see the fruit. Things like the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, which is what we're going to talk about today. So you see those two things pretty visibly. There's one thing you don't see very much of, and that is the branches. As we talked about week one, we are those branches. This is really the goal of the Christian faith, is that our lives would be hidden away and more and more and more people would see Jesus and they would see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we live in a world today where people want to be seen by the world, by other people, right? Validated, respected by the world. But the Christian, though, really, his or her goal is that Jesus would be seen more and more in their lives. So today we're going to process through, what does it look like to live this kind of hidden life? Colossians 3:3, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Or Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, today, let's talk about what is our role in this. The first thing I want to do, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go from John 15 to Galatians 5, and we're really going to draw these parallels here because there's a whole lot about remaining with him, abiding with him, but also staying in step with the Spirit. This is the passage where we find at the very end, or about verse 24 or so, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, let's read it starting in 16 this time. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and we're not going to stay here too long because he says they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. All right, let's pray before we move forward. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being who you are. Thank you for always being good and kind and gracious to us. I pray today that you would dwell richly in this place. Holy Spirit, saturate this environment. Be so abundantly present here. Work in this space. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so let's draw these parallels here, all right? So verse 16, it says, walk by the Spirit, all right? So as in, just like John 15 says, abide in him, stay close to him, stay and hang out with him. That's the parallel there. Or if you take verse 25, he says, just point blank, stay in step with the Spirit. So that's the goal right there, okay? So stay in step with the Spirit in Galatians 5. John 15, abide in him. These are the parallels. And then Jesus says in John 15, he says, fruit will now be produced in your life. And then in verse 11, he says, the fullness of joy will come about if you abide in him. In Galatians 5, what Paul says is, he says, stay in step with the Spirit. And then what will happen is the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in your life. That's the parallel right there. All right? So you may be asking at this point, how does that work? Because if you're like me, you try to strain to produce fruit in your life. And how ironic is that when you're like, I really, really want peace. So then you get all tensed up and stuff. You're like, I'm trying to obtain peace. Doesn't work that way, right? It's staying in step with the Spirit. All right, so what does that look like? Go back to John 15, all right, this parallel. Jesus gives us, especially in verses 7 through 10, he gives us some practical application for abiding in him or staying in step with the Spirit. Verse 7, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. All right, go back to verses 7 and then 9 and 10. Jesus gives us really three things here practically about abiding in him so that fruit will be produced in our lives. Number one, he says, abide in his word, which we touched on very briefly a couple weeks ago. Verse 9, he says, abide in his love. And then he says, obey his commands. Okay, so that's three things right there. Very similar to what doctors or nutritionists or health experts will say about your own body. Really three things. They'll say, you gotta eat well, you gotta exercise, and you gotta rest. Those three things. That's what a doctor will tell you. That's what Jesus kind of saying for our souls, for our spirit right here. I was thinking this week about Michael Phelps, one of the greatest Olympians of all time. You could make a great argument for greatest Olympian ever. 23 gold medals. Amazing, amazing thing he did. When he was training for the Beijing Olympics, he let it be known what his day routine was like. He said essentially this, all I do is eat, swim, and rest. And if you recall, if you remember this time, he ate a lot. For breakfast, he had 3 fried egg sandwiches with cheese, tomatoes, lettuce, fried onions, and mayonnaise, followed by 3 chocolate chip pancakes, then a 5 egg omelet, 3 sugar-coated slices of French toast, a bowl of grits, and 2 cups of coffee to wash everything down. That's breakfast. For lunch, he would have a 1/2 kilogram of pasta, 2 large ham and cheese sandwiches on white bread smothered with mayonnaise, and another set of energy drinks. For dinner, add 1 pound of pasta, a large pizza, and energy drinks. This would make for 10,000 calories a day, which would ideally feed 5 people, not just one. He would exercise 6 hours a day and sleep a consistent 8 hours per night. Yes, eat, sleep, and swim. Now, please don't leave here and try this diet. You will die, okay? It's not a healthy diet. It's way too much food, not healthy food. You don't have 6 hours a day to exercise, all right? But for the believer in the spiritual realm, we can't get enough of the Word of God. We can't consume enough of this food. Jesus says himself that the Word of God is like food. In fact, it's greater than food because when the enemy tempts him, he goes back to Deuteronomy 8:3 and he says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that hangs out of the mouth of God. See, we got to understand that the Word of God is our fuel source and we can't consume enough of it. That 10,000 calories a day, you know, like we said Wednesday, that in Genesis 3, the fall of man happens really when people stop, Adam and Eve, stop hanging on the words of God. That's when they're in trouble. And that's why Jesus says in John 15, he says, abide in my words. He doesn't just say, read them in the morning and then go about your day. He says, sit there, stay there, roll around in it, saturate in the word, stay close to them. That's our battle plan. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That's how. That's our battle plan. That's our fuel source. That's our energy. And you guys know, physically, when you don't eat, you get grumpy. You don't have energy to do things. In fact, there's a word for that now. It's called hangry. Heard that term? You ever known anybody get hangry? You yourself ever get hangry? I know for me, I do. And I know for Morgan, I wasn't going to do it. I had it in my notes. She's a great example. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do that. But what happens is I know, because she's a 10 out of 10. She is straight up gold. And she's not short with anybody just to be short with anybody. So if she is short, I know, get that woman some food and she'll be just fine. Maybe you can relate. Hangry, get some food, right? That only lasts you really for a few hours, though. Really, what happens is, or maybe even for me, a couple hours, but really, what we need is deep soul nourishment. Next time you find yourself having a pattern of frustration or grumpiness or whatever, don't ignore that. My professional prescription for you, get ready for this. Get in the Word. Read the Word. Absorb the Word. It's like that fuel source. It's kind of like putting fuel in your gas tank. You can't run on empty, and you have to run on the right fuel, because what happens oftentimes is we'll spend all day and night in other sources putting it in our car and wondering, why do I not run right or effectively? You know, if you scroll Instagram for hours and hours and hours, why would you expect for that car to run right? Or if you watch 35 episodes of Love is Blind, why would you expect that the engine's going to run right? It has to be the Word of God. That's the true, pure energy for our souls. We got to get in the Word. Now, again, just to reiterate, it's not just getting in the Word. It's remaining in it, staying with it. Doesn't mean we have to read 24 hours a day the Bible, but it does mean, Philippians 4:8 says, dwell in whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is good. And that word dwell actually is better translated ruminate, which is a term for cows. Cows, it's kind of gross, but I think it's a good illustration. Cows have multiple stomachs, and what they'll do is they'll eat a meal in the morning, and then later on in the day, they'll bring that meal back up just to make sure that they get all the nutrients out of it. And they'll chew on it, and they'll chew on it, and they'll chew on it over and over and over again. And that's for us. Man, you read this morning? You had a great time of reading in the Bible? Okay, throughout your day, bring that back up in your mind. Sit in it, roll in it, stew in it. Let that just be on your mind and in your heart. Man, the first thing we got to do is eat and eat and eat. The Word of God is our fuel source. The second thing is exercise. You want to be healthy, you got to exercise. You got to get that blood pumping. You got to get moving. You got to do things, right? You got to exercise out that energy that you got. And just like in the Christian faith, we absorb the Word and then we exercise out His commands. And if we don't, as you know, physically, you just eat and eat and eat. You get overweight, you get very unhealthy very quick. It's kind of like in the spiritual realm, like the Gnostics used to be. And 1 John talks a lot about this. Of they're talking about just knowledge and understanding and just trying to absorb it, but then never really thinking about their action being important. There's this great balance between diet and exercise in the Christian faith. This is what Jesus is saying in John 15, verses 7 and 9. He's saying, you got the diet, you abide in the Word, but then you also exercise it out. I mean, imagine if you told your kid to go empty the dishwasher, and they come to you the next day, and they go, Dad, I remember what you said yesterday about the dishwasher. That was really good. In fact, I'm going to start this study about emptying dishwashers. Isn't that great? And then you ask him, okay, but did you empty the dishwasher? And he says, no, you're not happy that he remembered it. In fact, you're probably more upset. You're like, kid, go empty the dishwasher. That's what I asked you to do. That's the point here. So many times we think like it's just about knowing, but it's not. It's this balance of I'm in the Scriptures and I'm also exercising out the Scriptures. James 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Or Luke 11, 28. He replied, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Or Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. As the great philosopher Allen Iverson once said, we're talking about practice. Practice. Now, what are these commands he says to put into practice? Really, three things. He says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. He says, love God with everything, essentially. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. But then right before this, it's a series of conversations here in John 13. He says, as I've loved you, love one another. And he says, this is how people will know that you're a disciple of mine. And what's the example he gives right before that? He washes feet. He washes feet. What he's saying here is you've got to serve. You've got to exercise out this word. You're in the word, you're hanging on to his word, and then you're exercising these things out through things like service. So what does it look like to serve? In fact, the New Testament writers, when they write letters, oftentimes what they'll say is, their whole identifier is they'll say, so-and-so, a servant of Christ Jesus. I mean, they their whole lives, they just want to serve. They just want to be helpful. So it's, again, holding on to him, holding on to his words, and then exercising that out through service. Are there avenues in your lives where you can step into service? I know there are some here. Shameless plug. We got kids ministry, could use some help, set up, tear down things. I mean, what does it look like to incorporate service all throughout our days, not just in a church service, but through our lives? It's diet, and then it's exercise. And lastly, it's rest. Jesus says, abide in his love. Sit with his love. Now, why does this pertain to rest? Well, perhaps y'all are a lot like me, which is like, man, I want to go and I want to live on mission and I want to do the things and I want to be about his business and I just go and go and go and then my mind keeps on going and going and going and I can't stop it. And what happens is Psalm 23 says, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. And I don't know about for you, but sometimes when I get sick, it's because I've been going and going and going and I haven't been resting. And sometimes he just has to say, Dallas, rest. You are made to lie down. Matthew 11:28-30. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, what the disciples are about to do here, they're about to go and do some great things. They're going to be casting out demons. They're going to be going and spreading this gospel everywhere they can. And what he's saying, though, is you got to take a deep breath. Remember, this is my work, not yours. Jesus says to Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. You don't have to go and do it. So we got to rest in him, sit with him, let our fuel source be him. And that only comes sometimes while we create some margin in our lives to just sit and rest in his presence. And physically, you will see some of the best athletes today are getting like 10 hours of sleep. And I know that's not on the table for us because we don't play with a ball for a living, okay? I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about we need to set our souls up so that we can rest in his presence. What does it look like to get rid of the phone or the TV or the distractions and the thoughts and things and maybe just sit with him? Because I know if I don't remove those things, what I end up doing is waking up during the night with the craziest things of like, did I turn the oven off? Or is there something going on outside or whatever? And completely irrational. Why? Because right before I went to sleep, what I did was I was sitting in some of these stressors as opposed to moving it aside and just resting in him. What does it look like to just sit with him and rest? Rest is crucial. Physical rest requires you to stay, not do anything, and instead what happens? Repair happens for your body. Same with our soul. When we sit with him, repair happens. We're getting energized in this fuel. So find some time to sit with him and rest. All right? It's diet, it's exercise, and it's rest. Jesus says, abide in his word, keep his commands, and abide in his love. Those three things. Now, let me be clear about something. The worship team, you guys can go ahead and come on up. Let me be clear about something. This is not legalism, and this is not us achieving anything. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of our effort. The point being here, these are wise things to do. They're not legalism. Okay? So what we need to do is absorb this and understand it's still by His grace that we even do these things. That's crucial. Very important. It's not legalism. It's not legalism. All right? Exercise, diet, rest. One of my favorite seasons of time. I mostly loved it. I didn't always love it. But when the girls were younger, and they were really young, probably like 2 or 3, they would want to stay right there with me wherever I went. And like I said, I mostly enjoyed it, but not always. But what I loved about it was like, Daddy, what are you doing? Daddy, where are you going? Or we'd go out and, you know, I'd shoot basketball or something, and I'd shoot it right off the side of the backboard, and they'd still be like, wow, Daddy, you're amazing. That was incredible. That was a great era of time. They were so awestruck at that time by, wow, look, my dad can do anything. And they want to just be right beside me. I don't think that should ever change for the believer. I think that we should always be so awestruck of God and want to stay right beside Him. Remember when Jesus, after He resurrects and He comes to Peter, first thing He says is just, do you love me? Because if that's true, if He is everything to us, if Jesus is everything and we just really love Him, everything else will take care of itself. If we just abide in the vine and we relationally connect to the vine and we stay there, we're absorbing Him in, we're sitting with Him, then what's going to happen is He's going to produce fruit in our lives. All we need to do is be like that little kid and just go, Jesus, what you doing? I want to come alongside because you're amazing and everything you do is so amazing. So Luke, throw that picture up there one more time if you don't mind. The grapevine. Abide in the vine. Stay in step with the Spirit and good fruit is coming. Guys, this is our whole lives as Christians. We are the hidden branches. Let's pray. Father. There's so many distractions today. So much critique and criticism and comparison and frustration and things like pressing a button and wanting that instant gratification and all these things. They just kind of like speed up our minds and keep us going and going and going and going. And I pray right now in this moment, Holy Spirit, do your work in this place to help us be free of all of that. That we actually do want to orient our days around just absorbing you in and staying close to you and dwelling in what is good and true and in your word. And we want to go and we want to serve and we want to obey your commands because we just know that they're good. And we want to create margin in our lives to just rest in you, rest in your arms. So as we come to you, Jesus, we ask you to be so gracious to make us to lie down in green pastures. Father, whether it's diet or exercise or rest, whatever it is that may be lagging behind in us, I pray, be so gracious, Holy Spirit, to draw us in step with you in this moment in time, during this time of worship. Father, may people see Jesus in Grace Meadows Church. We love you very much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship.